Welcome to Sidetracked, your unofficial agency of record. I'm Emily.
And I'm Shane, and we help run Trek, a tech-driven creative services agency based in Rockford, Illinois. Trek is a full-service marketing agency, which means we do it all, and we've been around since 1995, which means we've seen it all.
In season one of Sidetracked, we'll cover everything from AI and digital advertising to branding best practices and how to stand out with print marketing.
We believe that problems are identified by the curious and solved by the courageous.
Which is why we always start with a question.
Okay, so today's big question. Does my B2B brand need paid social? Here to help us answer this question is Sean Burke, our social media strategist.
Hi, Sean.
Hi, thanks for having me on the show, guys.
Welcome.
Welcome.
Happy to be here.
We got a lot of fun stuff to talk about.
Yeah, I'm excited. Social media is something that I've been doing for just about a decade, and this is a question that comes up pretty often in client communication.
Yeah, I think that's why it's in season one, and thinking about the questions we hear most from our clients. There's this, we do monthly reporting, and we are constantly looking at how are all of the channels of communication performing. And I'd say the most ambiguity is typically around websites and social, because everyone's like, okay, that doesn't look like a lot of interactions, but maybe for a brand it is. Or at what point should I think about boosting my posts, or what are my options? I would even say people don't even ask about boosting posts because they don't even know, like, how do I do paid social? They know nothing other than you can pay to get ads. So I think that's why we're starting here. Let's maybe start with, what are the platforms that we're talking about when we say paid ads on social or social advertising?
Sure. So typically what we're talking about when we're talking about social advertising for Trek specifically, the things that we typically do, tends to be the Meta side of things. So Facebook and Instagram, a little bit with X, not as much. We tend to not recommend it as a platform anymore just because of the way the platform has been trending for the last couple of years. And LinkedIn. LinkedIn is where we do most of our paid social advertising because we deal with a lot of B2B brands, and that's where a lot of that conversation tends to happen. Meta tends to be more B2C, but that doesn't mean that you can't have a social presence there. In fact, I think you should. You can do paid advertising there. It gets a little bit trickier because there's a lot of contamination with B2C objectives. So a lot of the times when we talk about paid social, we try to define it by what the client's objective is, and then that sort of informs the rest of the conversation.
Mm-hmm. I would also add Reddit as a paid social platform, which we've been recommending to clients more recently. And they have some exciting advertising options, things like sponsored AMAs. And that can be a good way to get in front of a really specific niche community.
Yeah, because you're trying to go where the conversation is already happening. And in some cases, your buyer personas, your ideal customers might be already at Reddit to get their information. Don't have as much to talk about in terms of how that one maybe fits into the goal from awareness, you know, consideration, conversion, kind of where that one fits as much, unless you do.
Oh my gosh, I think you can use all the platforms for all the goals.
I think you can too. I think it really depends on audience. Audience is going to dictate a lot of this. So for instance, Reddit is going to tend to skew a lot more technical. People in Reddit forums are going to be really trying to like get to the nitty gritty of conversation, to get to the meat of any kind of profession or specialty. And so you can engage with that person at any stage of the buyer journey, but it's more you're going to Reddit because you're going to that level of audience. You're going to someone who's going to be in deep in the operations of whatever you're trying to sell, or whatever you're trying to talk about. And that kind of extends to the other platforms as well. You can, you know, have awareness campaigns and have engagement campaigns and conversion-based campaigns on any of the platforms. Which platform you choose and which platforms you choose to focus on is going to really depend on the audience for your business and where that audience is already at on social media. It's very, very hard to generate an audience. It's much easier to go to where the audience already is and try to engage with them where they're at.
Yeah, one of the reasons we even started looking into Reddit for clients is that we realized that for a particular client, there was a subreddit where people were already talking about them and asking questions about their products and getting advice from, in this case, it was the specific type of engineer. They were getting advice from other engineers in their niche part of the industry on how to use these products. And when we realized that, we thought, well, we can just go where they already are talking about the client then. But yeah, you can do the same thing on LinkedIn, depending on who your audience is, using things like LinkedIn groups. I think it's just a little, they're less engaged than Reddit communities.
Reddit is a special beast of a social media in general.
Yeah, yes. It is.
So there's, what I'm hearing is that when you're choosing a platform for social advertising, it's more about who you're trying to reach than even your goal of converting leads for sales, for example, or generating, getting awareness about your brand so you can drive visits to your website or something like that. Is that what you're saying?
I would tend to agree with that. Like, let's say you're like a highly technical brand like this. If you go to a platform like Threads, which is fairly new, fairly undefined, and skews directly from Instagram, so it's going to be very creative focused, very craft focused. The demographics of it are going to be completely different from something like LinkedIn. And you go there with, you know, this highly technical and like very bottom of funnel conversion ask, it's probably not going to do very well. Only because the people that you're trying to reach with that are, even if you get conversions, they're very likely not there, for what you're asking about. So which social platforms you choose to be on, which social platforms you choose to engage with, and where you're like putting a focus, that is going to dictate, or that's going to be dictated by your audience. So you're going to want to do a lot of research and go out and like see where your audience is already talking, communicating, and try to mirror that in your approach. That's not to say you can't create, you know, Facebook groups and have Facebook groups do well where the other guys might not, but you know, it'll be more work for yourself in the long run. It definitely helps to have an idea of where your audience is already communicating. And oftentimes, you know, that can come from like, that can be informed by, you know, you as the business owner. Where do you go for information? What are you seeking out? How do you engage with online? That's going to be part of that conversation. Because if it's also where you are most comfortable, that can help. That can help lead that conversation.
That's a good point. And then once you figure out where your audience is hanging out already, then you can think about for each campaign, what's the goal? And so what's the offer? And like, what are we asking these people to do? Or what are we providing to these people better? Like, how are we giving value to these people?
And that's a great, there's a great word you use there called campaign. I, for one, love social media campaigns that have a defined like start and end and a defined goal. Like when it's made for, when you're purpose making a paid ads campaign that coincides with like a product or an initiative or a quarter like focus or half of your focus, that can really, the more specific you can be with everything, the better those ads will turn out.
Very true. And then it makes it easier to measure the results and tell if you got ROI from your campaign and then decide, okay, for our next campaign, what are we going to do differently? What are we going to do the same?
So we're talking about it now in a way that we would with somebody who we didn't know. Like if we're coming in and we're assessing, where should you start advertising? Let's say we're working with a client already and they're only doing socials on LinkedIn. And they say, we're not getting the reach that we want. We want to get leads from LinkedIn. Then what's our approach? Does it change? Do we say, are you on the right place? Are you in the right place to get leads for your business? Or do we, well, I'm not going to put words in your mouth. You guys answer the question. Does the approach change if they're already somewhere versus us just like looking at, you know, something with a fresh slate?
I think if they already have a presence, that's a really valuable thing. It is hard to start a social media. It is much easier to continue a social media typically, because when you're starting, you're typically starting from zero. Starting from even 100 or 150 followers is better than starting from zero in a lot of cases. If a client came to me and asked, you know, I'm on the social media and I'm not seeing the results that I want, and I want to boost the visibility and the effectiveness of my paid social, then one of the first things I would look at is I would go on LinkedIn and I would go directly to the backend settings of the page from the like admin side of things, from where content admins and super admins can see who's already following the page, what demographics are there, where they're from. This is where you can uncover things like, oh, you have a lot of followers from a foreign country that are maybe not relevant. So maybe this page maybe just found the wrong hook or encountered a lot of spam early on. And that is now affecting, you know, how the algorithm sees its content and how well the content is performing. So in that case, we may suggest, okay, well, you should do a follower campaign on LinkedIn targeted in the United States or in wherever your target market is. And then following directly like job titles that are in your like valued customer, like whatever your most valued customer looks like or your common customer looks like. So then that what that does is that gets your page in front of those customers. They can then decide whether or not to follow. And if they follow, then of course you're putting out content. Ideally, you're putting out content that speaks to those customers and potentially augmenting those to a similar audiences with boosted post campaigns or like boosted engagement campaigns, that kind of thing. If your social media audience is fairly small, I would say start with things like followers campaigns and engagement campaigns. Those are what grow your LinkedIn page and kind of give it a sense of credibility. And once it has that credibility, once people can go to your page and kind of see, oh, you know, they've got, you know, several hundred followers and, you know, they've got this offering and these high quality posts that have a good amount of engagement on them, that is sometimes that social proof that you need to then convert on any other kind of objective you might want to do with like a form or a direct ask on a website or something like that. Shane, would you say that's pretty fair?
Yeah, I think so. One thing we maybe weren't super clear about this, the question was if you are already using this platform organically, right?
Okay. Sure.
So yes, I agree with that. I would also say a lot of times when clients ask us about paid social on LinkedIn, one of the first questions is like, what are the targeting options? Most people don't know what the targeting options are, and you can actually get really granular with them. Can you walk us through some of the common targeting options that we use, Sean?
Sure. We very commonly use, obviously, location, job titles. You can target by various industries. You can target by seniority level, estimated company revenue. You can target by the you can target by people who follow specific LinkedIn pages. So if you want to target people who follow like a larger page than yours in like the same market, and you want to kind of like make a go at that audience, or you want to become known in that audience, you can do that. There's a lot of different targeting. I think that LinkedIn has maybe the most granular targeting options. Facebook used to, I think, but Facebook has changed a lot in the last several years. LinkedIn also has a lot of really good tools for retargeting engagement. So you can retarget people who not only go to your website and things that you can do on other platforms, but people who come directly to your LinkedIn page. So people who actually get to your LinkedIn page, you can then retarget those people within 90 days. You can also retarget people who watch certain amounts of like video content. So if you put a video out on LinkedIn, you can say people who watch this specific video, which you can also put like boosted dollars behind if you would like to. But if you say people who watch this specific video for this amount of time, I want to then target them with this like conversion ad. So that would be like transitioning someone from an awareness stage to a consideration stage. So LinkedIn has a lot of really good tools for that. Like, I like it a lot.
Yeah, I like it because we can take the buyer personas that we create for our clients and basically just exactly replicate them using LinkedIn's targeting. So if we have a buyer persona that's a, you know, design engineer at US companies that are greater than 100 million in revenue and have more than 1,000 employees, like we can just take that and target it on LinkedIn. So it does make B2B campaigns a lot easier to do. Sean, you said something about boosting organic posts. Can you talk about the difference between like paid ads on LinkedIn versus boosting posts on LinkedIn?
Sure. So the biggest difference is the objective of the ad. So in the LinkedIn Ads Campaign Manager, you are basically taking you're building out your campaign objective first, which is deciding whether or not you want to drive for conversions directly, whether or not you want to drive for engagement, views, or some other objective that they might have. And then from there, you're then defining your targeting. So it goes objective, targeting, and then creative. So once you get through your targeting and you've defined the person you're trying to attract or engage with, then you go directly to ad creation. You can either create the ad within the campaign manager, and that will like keep it off of your page. It is something that only exists as an ad, will not be seen by anyone other than this desired audience. You can also pull in content from the company page, which is that organic content that you're posting, you know, throughout the month. So, normally the way that this works is you create a campaign that is an engagement focused campaign or a clicks focused campaign. Either of those works pretty well. And you can pull in content from the page that is designated to an audience with the main goal of either driving clicks to a website or the main goal of gaining engagement on LinkedIn, which is like likes, comments, shares, that kind of thing. And in those campaigns, in the engagement campaign, you should not be like creating content within the campaign manager. You should be pulling it from your organic content, because you want that content to be visible for people to see it, for people to be able to engage with it. That is also the engagement, campaign focus is also where you can create your followers campaigns. So that is again, engagement in the fact that people are now following your page and going to be set up for, organic engagements going forward. But when we talk about boosting is a term from Facebook, where Facebook kind of created the boost a post button for businesses to very quickly, you know, click boost on an organic post, and then that will click quickly take them to the ad manager, where they can then put money behind it to an audience of their choosing. This is similar, except LinkedIn is less aggressive about having businesses push organic posts to be promoted content. But the term boosted post is kind of what we use.
Can you talk about the interplay between paid social and like maybe other types of retargeting campaigns that we might be running at the same time?
Yeah, there's a lot of possibilities for interlinking campaigns across different platforms. So really common one throughout the ages. Digital ads have
only been around. Throughout the ages.
This is a 32-year-old talking. a very common way to do this is that you'll have a Google Ads campaign, and the Google Ads campaign will be driving something really, really specific, a really like tight conversion. Because on Google Ads, you don't really want to be wasting a lot of money in like search, for instance, for awareness. You want to drive those specifically to a conversion as much as possible. So if someone gets to that page and they don't convert, likely if you have like a LinkedIn Insights tag or like a tracking code on your website for another social media, you can then take people who have been to that page specifically, follow them around the internet with ads that continue to push that offer to try to entice them to come back. It's kind of like making your, and while you're doing that, obviously you're doing the same thing, but from a Facebook first interaction to then a Google retargeting interaction with display ads potentially. So you're trying to make sure that where you might miss a conversion somewhere else, you're catching it with the other platforms. That's how I think about it.
Okay. I got lots of questions. What was the last ad that you both converted on social? Like, okay, that's a very technical way of saying that. What was the last ad you clicked on and then like filled out a form or gave it your information?
I bought a Christmas gift off of social media. I bought a Dr. Pepper candle. So it looks like it's like a 12-ounce can of Dr. Pepper. And it's a candle for my wife because she is in love with Dr. Pepper. And it was a TikTok ad. And it was like an ad from the TikTok shop. And it was like TikTok, the writing was on the wall that TikTok might be, you know, taken off the US store soon. So I was like, you know what? I've never used the TikTok shop. Let me go ahead and just dive in with this one and I'll go ahead and see how it goes. And it came fairly quickly. It's a really nice candle. It doesn't feel like cheap. And you know, it wasn't super expensive. So I'm very happy with that purchase.
That's a whole nother can of worms, the TikTok shop and that approach and TikTok in general.
Yeah.
Maybe for another episode.
I have lots of
I have also ordered something from the TikTok. That's hard to say.
TikTok shop.
And it was good. I actually had a really good experience too. But Jane,
Never even heard of the TikTok shop. I have never used TikTok. I didn't know there was a shop. I'm purposely keeping myself completely in the dark about TikTok because I know that I would get addicted to it. It's a conscious decision. I buy things from Instagram ads all the time.
Like, I knew this about you. This was a softball question for you specifically because I knew this.
I mean, the pants I'm wearing right now are from an Instagram ad. Like, I could just look around my desk and tell you how many things came from an Instagram ad. I have to say, so I just got this, like, I'm not even going to name the product because I'm about to bash it. But I got this, like, face product that's supposed to be like sort of like a dewy blush. And I think it looks good, but it smells terrible. Mm-hmm. And I was getting like ad after ad and I finally was like, okay, I'm giving in. Like, obviously this product is for me because they keep targeting me. I'm just going to get it. I got it. It smells so bad. And the first thing I did was Google like name of product smells bad. And there's all these people out there being like, this product smells terrible. And I wish I had looked it up first, but I didn't. No, I fall for Instagram ads constantly, all the time.
I also fall for Instagram ads. I wouldn't say frequently. And it's not even a purchase. Like both of yours were like purchase. Where they get me is the free stuff, like the guide for this or like template definitely. For this, like, and maybe it's like my marketing thinking of like oh, that's valuable but it's free. But I actually
I'm the opposite. I never convert on free stuff. I will totally purchase from the ads. I mean even like this was from an ad.
Just holding up different ad. Those are mostly beauty products.
Yeah.
It is. And you know what? I don't even think of myself as like a beauty product person.
Instagram does. Yeah,
it's kind of fun. Anyways, I like being targeted on Instagram. I'm like, you know so much about me. You know all the products I will like. Show them to me.
Great. You and my wife are incredibly different. My wife is incredibly distrustful of online advertising in general. And she will do everything she can. Now your thought is like, I've been served this ad so much. I should jump in on it because people have put a lot of like money and work into targeting. Why would they waste their money on targeting me? Surely it's a good product for me. Her thinking is the entire opposite. She actually thinks that this might be some kind of like trick or nefarious or like trying to buy things that you don't need kind of thing.
So I think it's the money. Funny. I think it's more that like, Instagram knows so much about me that the recommendations can actually mostly be trusted because they're not targeting just based on like one thing. They're targeting based on things I've clicked on before, things my friends like. Like the ad targeting is pretty good. So I'm just like, great. I don't have to go find these things. Send it to me. I love it.
I've been on Facebook for 15 years. They know basically everything they can about me. It makes sense that, you know, the ads would be all things that I like. So
I do have to say though, anything I get targeted based on what Google knows about me, is totally off because I, write fiction. And so I'm constantly Googling things like, you know, how to murder somebody with a golf club, whatever. Like, you know, I don't write murder stories, but like things where it's like, I'm not looking for myself. I'm looking for my story. And so Google is very confused about me. Instagram is very clear about who I am.
I think that's part of my thought process here in asking that question is that I downloaded a, guide for innovative ideas for engagement at in-person events. And that was like different things that like make you feel, fresh, like that make events stand out as a way that create a memory in your mind that aren't over the top, like painting a mural on a wall or something like that. And I wasn't thinking about work. It was the weekend and I was just scrolling and, it came up and I was like, oh, that's really cool. That would be cool at one of our client events. Cause I saw like the video, it was a video ad and I'm like, oh, I want to see more of those ideas. So I guess where I'm going with that is social media is a much more personal way of like getting to somebody than maybe their email or like on your website when they come there. They're usually like in a business mind. So you almost have to think about a person as their whole person when you're trying to reach them on social. So like, for example, we were having this conversation about Threads. We're like, is Threads a good channel? Is it not? I'm just saying I love Threads because I love to read. I'm not a writer like Shane. I love to read. So my Threads is like local bookstores and then randomly the TSA account. If you haven't looked that up before, the TSA account on Threads is hilarious.
Can confirm.
And so then it was like in the midst of all of those things that I'm already engaging with on Instagram, I saw these other ads and I was like thinking, I wonder what I looked at that they thought that would be interesting for me because like, what if I said, I want to work with at Trek? Okay. Let's take Trek for example. I want to work with more people like me that love to read fiction, in the fantasy genre of like, you know, science fiction, fantasy kind of era. What if I put that into my targeting for my persona and all the other stuff like marketing and, like their role and responsibilities and that kind of thing and said, find me those people. And then in our first meeting, my first question is like, okay, what's your favorite fantasy science fiction novel that you've read in the last year? You know, like something that builds that in a way that's like a more qualitative relationship than just like statistically on paper, you work in a business that makes about this amount of money that would be a good fit for my company to work with, you know?
Yeah. I think that's like a really creative way to think about it. And it's like that kind of out of the box approach that, you know, end up in really good campaigns. Like it's, trying to engage the most important thing I think I could convey to anyone looking to kind of up their digital marketing game is to never forget that the numbers on the screen are still people. Everyone on the other end of the screen is a person with a whole life and all their desires and all their like problems and all their happiness and everything else. So like if you're looking at people holistically, like something like that sounds really amazing. The biggest roadblock to that is going to be your targeting tools. So like LinkedIn, unfortunately, I don't think doesn't have a like science fiction, fantasy like category that should. I can target. If they should, yeah. I think it would be really interesting. Yeah. But Facebook would. So like, if that's a campaign that you want to try, you certainly could. You may want to like pair it. The best way I can think to do that would be to have a larger campaign going on LinkedIn and then retarget from there to Facebook and then have the retargeting as the top filter and then filter that by people who are then into the subcategory. Of liking science fiction and fantasy books. And then you create ads that speak to your specific offer that you're talking about that also tie in with the theme. So that you can then speak to like, take your marketing out of this world and like, you know, come up with very clever campaign ideas that can go on the platform itself. And that would be, I think, a really good campaign. I do not know what the costs would look like or even what the actual deliverable would look like. But my gut is that if you had a large enough audience at the top end, it could work. So
it's a really interesting idea. Yeah, let's try it.
So that your response, Sean, kind of leads me to my next question, which I said I had multiple questions. This is the last. Cost. So usually when we're talking about paid social, the cost can vary dramatically. The conversation usually starts with what is the starting minimum amount that I can spend to test a channel? And I think that's a hard question to answer, but like if you were to say by channel a rough bottom line amount that we'd recommend to get started, just to give people an idea of like what does it actually cost to run a general type of campaign on each channel.
Sure. To give people an idea of like the different factors that play into it most heavily, it's going to be your audience and your objective. Your audience is going to vary in heavily because the more specific you are with your targeting, the higher your cost per thousand is going to be and your cost per click is going to be. Cost per thousand, of course, how many thousands of people see your ad, cost per click, cost for each individual click. So if you're doing something that's hyper specific, you may have some campaigns on social where your cost per click is like $25. I've seen cost per clicks in like the $50 to $75 range. So that means for each individual click, you know, you're paying a significant amount. The more general you go, the lower that gets. And it can be, you know, as low as like 5 cents, 2 cents a click. But now your targeting is so broad that that person may not actually be a good fit for the money that you're putting behind it. Right. So, I like to recommend as a starting place somewhere in the $500 to $750 range for like starting budget, like what is actually being spent on LinkedIn, separate from campaign creation and from ad creation. So around $500 to $750 is typically going to be good enough to see if you need to go higher or lower.
And that's a month.
Yeah, per month. Yes. Yeah, typically when we're looking at campaigns, we're managing them and reporting on them in a monthly basis. And then taking broader looks at things once every quarter, once every 6 months.
LinkedIn is one of the more expensive channels that we deal in.
Not as expensive as Reddit, though, because Reddit's a little bit
more. Yeah, a little bit more. But the more you put into those first couple of months, the more data you have, and then the more quickly you can gather insights from that data, make decisions about what's working and what's not, and land on something that is working. The lower you go per month, the longer it takes to get enough data to figure out if it's working or not.
Yes, 100%.
And that applies to Google search as well, like basically any type of advertising we would do.
Time is money, as they say. But yeah, I would say like, you know, that is the bare minimum to get into like, you know, a very directed, like a moderately directed and like pretty good conversion at the end of it campaign. You can get in lower than that if you're trying to do like follower or engagement focused goals. Like let's say you wanted to add followers to your LinkedIn page. You could probably do like $100 and you might, you know, depending on the audience, get anywhere from, you know, 25 to 10 followers, depending on how competitive that market is, or how broad that targeting is. Again, it's something where like, if you run it with more budget at the beginning, you'll kind of get a better estimate of what the cost would be going forward and you can adjust. So, that would be my recommendation. Start with maybe more than what you think you need. And then, you can adjust from there. I'd always rather start broader and maybe have a hand in a few more pots, like have a little bit going to followers and engagement, have a little bit going to like a targeted campaign, and have a little bit going towards the couple experiments we might want to do, maybe lead formats and things like that. And then kind of like once you have some data on everything, then you can really start to modify and see which methods are working the best, which type of ads are working best. We haven't even talked about the fact that on LinkedIn, you can run, you know, everything from video ads to image ads to carousels and all kinds of other stuff, you know?
The other thing is the LinkedIn ad platform allows you to put in your targeting and get an estimate of how yes. much it's going to cost. So before launching a new campaign with a client, we can give them a good idea of what they can expect in terms of cost per click.
Yeah.
So taking us back to this question, does my B2B brand need paid social? True or false? I want to reach a very specific audience, and the only way to guarantee that, I need to use paid advertising, because organic will not guarantee a very specific audience.
True. True. Because
is that question clear, Shane? Or sorry to cut you off. Do you know what I'm asking?
Yes, I know what you're asking. I didn't know what my answer would be. But Sean okay. seems confident that the answer is true.
I am really confident that the answer is true, because like while organic is great, and I've been talking about this in a couple different ways lately, especially with TikTok having so many like hurdles in its life right now, you never really know where the algorithm's going to shift. You never know which way the winds of social media are going to blow. The certainty that you can cling to with paid advertising is that it's going to the people you are targeting. And as long as you can trust that the social media platforms have a good gauge of their audience, then you can rely on that targeting being good. And it's just on you to decide who your audience is and then what the objectives are. And if you have that, then you can move forward. But with organic, there's a chance that, you know, with the right hashtags, being in the right groups, doing outward engagement, you know, you can put in legwork and make sure that you're getting close to the right audience, but it's never a guarantee because you don't actually get to decide where that goes. It is the algorithm that decides where it goes.
The other thing is we've seen in recent years an occasional mass exodus from a platform. So the other thing to keep in mind, and this goes back to your audience, is like, is your audience still there? Are they still on that platform or have they gone somewhere else? And so with organic social and paid social, you kind of constantly need to be checking in to make sure you're on the right platforms to begin with.
So in summary, it sounds like answering this question of does my B2B brand need paid social? If you know who your audience is very specifically and need to reach them with certainty because you have a specific campaign or a specific goal in mind that you need to measure, then yes, you need to do it. You can also do it just for fun because it could also help with some things that are learning about your awareness of your audiences, finding out where they are, if they've moved or not. So you can get creative. You can have fun with it. But if you need it or not, really, you need to know your audience. And if you really need to reach them specifically for a campaign, then yeah, you do need to use it. Is that a fair summary?
I would agree. I think social media advertising specifically is a great tool in combination with organic. I do not think it is a silver bullet, just like all things in marketing. And I do think it requires a lot of soul searching to figure out exactly who is the target of these ads. Mm-hmm. Who are the target of these
ads? Soul
Problem solved. This particular client wanted to start a user community for like a nonprofit user community that would support the design community, design people, designers in the print space.
Design people.
Design people.
Specifically, I guess, inkjet. Inkjet
design. Yeah. Yeah. And provide examples, provide inspiration. And it was starting from the ground up. We didn't have a website. We didn't have anything to begin with. So we went through a brand workshop. We built creative brand, voice, message map, all the things we talked about in our last episode. And then built this beautiful website and no one was coming. So then we said, okay, we need to continue this, getting the word out to build this community. Let's go to social. And Sean, tell us about how that went, where we started, where we ended up.
Sure. For this client, we started with a Instagram presence. And, you know, intuitively thinking that, you know, a design community on Instagram would perform really well as long as we, you know, provided really engaging interactive media, played to the platform's strengths with things like reels and stories. It didn't quite grab the attention that we were looking for. But we took this client to LinkedIn ads where we were able to really target the audience that we were after with engaging content and follower ads to grow the page. And over the last year, we've been able to secure, you know, 2.5 million impressions for this client that we know are all in the right audience and are willing to engage with a lot of the content. And I think it's done really well. I think we've achieved a lot of the social goals as far as engagement, follower growth. I think we've, you know, built this page from square one. And I'm really happy with where it's at right now.
I think the client's pretty happy too.
One of the great things about using ads to launch a page and get followers very quickly is that you don't have to keep using ads to reach those followers. They're now following the page. So then as we put out organic content, it's appearing in their feeds.
And you can't abandon organic once you start regular for that reason, like regular ads. So you can't abandon organic once you start ads, especially follower, because you get all these followers. And then if you're not posting anything organically, they're getting nothing from you on an ongoing basis. So you need to attract them and feed them consistent messages through your organic channel while you continue to get the message out there to a broader audience with paid.
Absolutely.
Well, thanks for being here, Sean.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks.
This was super fun. Come back anytime.
Absolutely. You know where to find me.
Sidetracked is the name of the bar inside Trek, where it's not uncommon to find a copywriter and a designer brainstorming a new project, an account manager hosting a client for happy hour, and our creative director and head mixologist, Mike Wilson, mixing up something fun.
In this season of Sidetracked, Mike's making his way through a 1970s cocktail recipe book, and we volunteered to be his taste testers.
Mike's at the bar, and he made us a drink.
What'd you make us, Mike?
I made you guys a Cherry Libre, which is a spin on a Cuba Libre, and that has rum, lime, Coke, and then some cherry syrup added to it.
Mmm, this is beautiful.
Mine sort of just, it looks like a half full glass of Coke with some lime in it, but I like Coke, so I'm optimistic.
Well, yeah, it looks like a rum and Coke, but mine has a bit of a red tinge to it from the cherry, if you hold it up to the light.
Maybe it's the NA, not, it doesn't look as red.
I'm going to give it a try.
Need my straw first.
Oh, okay. It's limier than I expected. The cherry and the lime together, delicious. I'm not a Coke fan. I'm not a rum fan, but this is actually really good. It kind of reminds me of a cherry lime Ricky.
I don't know what a Ricky is, but it tastes like college to me. Because I think Coke was cheap at the time when I drank alcohol, which I no longer do.
Reminds me of college.
Mm-hmm. But it tastes good. I like it.
Okay. Well,
pretty simple.
I'm going to give it a 3 out of 5.
That's generous. Well, I'll say a 3 out of 5 as well. All right. It's an easy drink.
Okay,
you know, hold on. Actually, I think this would be a 4 out of 5 if it was regular Coke and not Coke Zero.
Oh, yeah.
It's the sugar. It's the weird zero aspartame or, you know, whatever that is.
Sorry, we're so picky.
No, you're good.
Good job, Mike.
Mike. It's what we have found stock.
Cheers.
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 Thanks for joining us. If you like this episode of Sidetracked, rate and review it, share it with a friend, subscribe, all of the above. Learn more about us at Trek.com.
Sidetracked is a production of Trek. Our producer is Nick Grove. Our production manager is Sean Burke. Our content editor is Nick Ostick, and our design lead is Mike Wilson. One more thing. Did you know that Sean writes poetry for our clients for holidays, including Valentine's Day? And most of our clients that we do organic social for have fun Valentine's Day poems going out today.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, go check it out. Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day, everybody.
Yeah.
Bye.